the fire? I'm sure you've heard that a time or two in your life. A young pastor was serving his community as chaplain of the local volunteer fire department. One night, his first call came in. He jumped out of bed, jumped into his clothes, out of his house, into his car, and he sped off into the night. A police cruiser in town was paying attention. Lights flashing pulled him over. And the officer sauntered up to the driver's side window, and he leaned in and he asked, he said, "Well, sir, where's the fire?" Without missing a beat, the young minister said, "2116 Sherman Ridge Road." Caught the officer off guard. The police officer stammered, "Okay, then, follow me. "Where's the fire?" It's a common phrase used in three different ways. In the case of the police officer, it meant, "What's the big hurry?" Others use the phrase to ask, "What's all the excitement about?" Another approach uses the phrase to ask, "Where's the passion and where's the energy?" Any of these three questions is appropriately asked this Pentecost Sunday of anyone claiming to be a member of Christ Church. Where's the fire? You see, the story of Pentecost in the second chapter of Acts is considered by theologians all over the world as the birthday of the Christian church. It's the day that the church came to be. It challenges us with the question, where is the fire? In all three uses, tongues as a fire descended upon the gathered disciples that day, and each was transformed, able to preach in foreign tongues. With such boldness and passion, they thought they might be drunk. There was urgency in the message that they shared that day. There was authority, there was power in their proclamations. There was deep, intense passion in their words. It causes one to pause and to ask, but where is the fire now? Where is the fire today? You see, where today is our sense of urgency in this place? Do you and I still believe that our beliefs and deepest values are matters of life and death? Do we have a hope of eternal life? Do we believe that there is a God who wants the very best for the human race? You see, in the early church, believers expected an immediate return of the Christ, and there was an immense pressure to get right with God as quickly as possible. Have you ever heard somebody say, "You better get right with God"? I'm here, I'm telling you, you better get it right. Time is short, time is at hand. You see, the Christian faith truly was a matter of life and death. Today, you and I live in a world that does not hold a belief of the imminent return of Jesus the Christ. And also, we live in a world that is a far cry from the kingdom of God promised in our Holy Scriptures. Today, our world is full of gross injustices, economic inequity, widespread poverty, disease, hunger, terrorism. We live in a violent and unpredictable place. This world that we live in, there's an incredible need in our world for love, for kindness, for peace, for compassion, for healing, forgiveness, and reconciliation. These things are not nice ideas that can be put off into some vague, distant future. The world needs the healing. It needs the healing love of Jesus Christ. It needs it when? It needs it right now. It needs it today. You see, there's no time for you and I to wait. The urgency of God's message of forgiveness. It's a message of redemption. It's a message of healing. And a message of love is as great today as it has ever been in our world. Where's the fire? Why are so many people who love God with all their heart, mind, soul, and spirit so quiet about it? Have you ever thought about that? I love the Lord. Yeah. He's good. He's kind. Just don't tell nobody. Where's the fire? Where's the excitement? We call the stories of Jesus contained in the Bible the Gospels, the good news. Something that we're supposed to do what? To go out and proclaim, to go out and tell, to go out and let other people know. But it can't be that good if people aren't sharing it, if people aren't happy about telling others about it. You see, when we get good news, we can't wait to share it. We love to tell people good news. Good news is exciting. Good news is compelling. Good news transcends mere information to touch people's emotions. Good news makes people feel good. It should make people feel good, and we need to get past that feeling good. What should we do with it? We should do something about it. So what's the problem? Why aren't we telling people about God and Jesus Christ? You see, a growing portion of the population in the world that we live in today has little or no church background. And even among churchgoers, a growing number of people have no basic knowledge of the Bible. And that is very true. That is the world that you and I live in today. We actually do have a story to tell to all the nations, beginning with our very own. We don't have to be scholars to tell that story. Oh no. Nor do we need to cram it down people's throats. We don't need to be rude and arrogant about it. We merely need to be willing to share with others what our faith means to us and be able to scribe some of the miraculous and marvelous stories from God's Word. Tell the stories of goodness. Tell the stories that transcend time. Tell the stories that some of you heard as children, that some of you are hearing for the first time. If you have to get a child's Bible storybook and read it, that'll give you the beginning of it. And then if you want to find out, say, well, where's that in the Bible? Let's find it. Let's look. Let's want to know what it's all about. You see, we need to see the stories of our faith as gifts that we can share with others. We need to find that. You see, you and I have the opportunity and privilege of introducing others to God, to this God of love that gives life, our own life meaning. Where's that fire? Where is it at in your heart and your soul? What about passion? What about the energy and vitality and excitement that gets us up and moving and seeking others with whom to share this amazing faith? Think for a moment about something that you absolutely love to do. No one has to ask you twice if you want to play your favorite game or go to your favorite restaurant or visit your favorite friend. If you've something that you want to do, what are you going to do? You're going to do it. But if it's something that you don't want to do, you don't. If it's something you don't have passion about or energy about, you just don't do it. When you are passionate about something, guess what? It shows. In what you do, in what you say, how you live, it shows. Does your life show that you're a Christian? It says we may show our passion and excitement in different ways, but it's there. It doesn't take much to tap into it. So where is our passion when it comes to our faith? What moves us up out of our pews and sends us flying out into a world to put our faith to good use? What motivates us to get involved and do for others as God has done for us? Where is our fire? Think about that. What motivates you to get up out of your pew on Sunday morning and go into the world? Think about it. I know for some people, it's 12 o'clock, and they're going to get up and walk out. And it's not going to wait. And you know when they're going to walk out? When we start singing what? When Miss Iris goes and plays, they're going to walk out. Because for some reason, 12 o'clock, their world has turned off. For others, they've got to run home and do something. They've got to prepare a meal. They've got to get ready for somebody. They've got to run to an errand. They've got to go meet family and friends somewhere at a restaurant. They've got things to do. They've got a ball game. But for something happens, that's what gets them up and moving out of here. But what gets you up and moving? When you leave this place, when you take your time, when you stay and you listen to the closing hymn and the benediction and the last response, and you go out of this place, what gets you moving this week? What gets you out of here? What motivates you to get involved with someone else as God has done for you and I our whole lives? You see, as the early disciples were witnesses to the grace of God incarnate in Christ Jesus, you and I are modern-day equivalents. In other words, you and I are the ones that are left here. We are the modern-day disciples. On this Pentecost Sunday, perhaps our prayer should be that the mighty wind of God's Holy Spirit would rush through this sanctuary this morning and fill each and every one of us with a sense of urgency, real excitement, and a consuming passion to share the good news of Jesus Christ with everyone that we meet. Do we share it with everyone we meet? He says, share it with everyone you meet. Think about that. What would you have to do? You'd probably have to stand everywhere you go and let somebody know it. Or do we pick and choose who we're going to share something with? We see people come, we say, they look a little weird. I don't know if I want to say anything to them or not. And they're kind of suspicious looking. I don't know. There comes somebody. They're okay. I might can say hey to them. But stick your hand out and say, good morning, how are you? Or good afternoon or good evening, it's good to see you. You know, God bless you. Say something to them and smile. I heard that at a graduation ceremony Friday night. It's something that we all have, and I've heard it many times, but I heard it again. We all have it and we all can share it, and it doesn't cost us a thing. What is it? I smile. Now, if you walk around looking like Grumpy Gus all the time, when people see you coming, what do they think? Good Lord, here they come. Oh, Lord, have I got to speak to them today? Oh. But if you walk around and say, good morning, if you got a smile on your face, if you love the Lord, if you're having a wonderful day. Now, I know every day is not always tickled to death to be alive, I'm sure. But most of the days, it should be that morning that you say, good morning, Lord, instead of saying, good Lord, it's morning. So do that this week. Do that. Think about it. If the Spirit was to come through here and get a hold of each and every one of us, what would we do with it? You see, you and I do need to be careful what we pray, because God just might take us seriously once in a while. We could end up with more than just a warm, fuzzy, comfortable feeling. We could end up blazing brightly, imagine that, witnessing to the world that Jesus Christ is Lord, and hearing again and again, oh, there is the fire. There is the fire. When we allow it to become part of who we are each and every day of our lives, that is where the fire is. And we need to figure out what we need to do about it. We don't need to put that fire out. We need to allow it to burn. We need to allow it to grow and spread to those around us. Where's the fire in your life this week? Let us pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for blessing us. Thank you, Lord, for the Spirit that grows and glows within each and every one of us. We thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for your Son, our Savior. We thank you, Lord, that He lived His life, He gave His life, He shared His life with you and me, with this group of people here this morning, with each and every one that we meet every day. He gave His life for each and every one of us, no matter how big or tall, short, good looking or ugly some people might think we might be, no matter what we drive, no matter where we live, He loves us all. He created us all for His kingdom. And as His disciples, it is our job to tell others about Him. And I think we're failing at our job. So, Lord, this day I ask that you allow us to awake within us that sense of urgency, of belonging, of sharing, of giving our lives to those around us, of letting our heart and soul be a witness each and every day. So be with us now, Lord. Bless our time. For it's in your Son's great and holy name I do pray. Amen. Our hymn of decision this morning is Surely the Presence of the Lord is in this place. Hymn number 328. Always know that the altar is open. Come as you will. Hymn number 328.